You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Here we have Ross Hersich, Chief of Strategies from WPP Australia and New Zealand. Can you clarify a little bit more about your organization, why you name WPP and why you do this research? Thank you.
Sure. So I am the Chief Strategy Officer of a big marketing services company called WPP AUNZ. And a big part of our job is to understand what makes Australians tick and what this country is feeling about its national identity and how it feels about everything that it does and the distance in particular between the things we say out loud and the things we're really thinking, which is why we called the study Secrets and Lies.
Could you tell us more about this research? What is it actually said?
Sure. So we talked to 4,000 Australians and New Zealanders, and the headlines of the research are as follows. We found out, first of all, that there is a lot of lying, I guess, for want of a better word, going on with people in both Australia and New Zealand who certainly want to make sure that they're never offending anybody when they're saying the things that they're saying out loud. And so the research has uncovered that there's a very big difference between the things we say and the things we think, particularly when it comes to national identity, to what it means to be Australian. And I think what the research mainly uncovered is that as a nation, there is more that unites Australians than divides them. And that is a really terrific finding, because if you read anything in the newspapers, certainly the media has been hijacked by the fringes of our society. But the truth is that Australia is very united as a nation. The thing that I found the most interesting is that something like 70-odd percent of Australians, two-thirds of every single Australian, thinks that the very best thing about Australia is multiculturalism. And that, to me, was astonishingly fantastic news, because we are, in fact, the most highly multiculturalized country in the world.
Your organization focuses mainly on communication skills, experience, commerce, and technologies. In terms of multiculturalism, we have a lot of ideas and resources from diverse backgrounds all around the world in the pots, mixing pots in a salad bowl in Australia. Has the government actually looked into these resources within Australia? And the business as well, have they actually utilized the resource that we have here to their fullest potential?
I think not enough. You know, I think that effectively a quarter of our population wasn't born in Australia. And interestingly, if you look at the listed ASX businesses, say like a Westfield that was once listed on this exchange before it was sold, those businesses have all been started by people who are immigrants. When it comes to small business, migrants are more likely to start a small business than those people that are born in Australia. So I think that there is still a lot of opportunity for government to really look at the ideas, to look at entrepreneurship, to look at what is possible within multicultural Australia, because they are certainly more likely to end up being successful business people than the average. And I think that's a terrific opportunity for government, for industry, for corporate Australia to look at the migrant community and to give them a chance to have their ideas flourish.
Do you think that what you have just mentioned, it's really representing multicultural communities within Australia?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that everything that we're seeing from the research tells us that there is a hunger for success. There is a hunger to have a better life, which is the number one reason why most immigrants come to Australia, is who in fact have a better life and a better standard of living. And what we're seeing from the research is that that reason, I think, needs to be supported more and more from government and from corporate Australia, because from, again, the research, the hardest workers you will find tend to come from the multicultural communities in Australia.
But is there any policies from either the government or the private or the corporate world really look into this aspect and really harness the possibility of the resource that we have here?
Look, I think more and more the government is offering small business grants, opportunities for immigrants to start something from the ground up. And I think that if you look closely, there are opportunities. There are government grants, there's funding, there's opportunities to get a lot of immigrants a business angel or somebody who's expert in a particular area of business to give them the guidance that they need. So I think we're seeing for the first time some really significant both funding and support in terms of intellectual support for people who are ambitious and want to have a go.
Your report also mentioned about equality and equity and also inclusion as well. But a recent report from the Plan International do some research from 19 countries from young women from 19 to 25. And the research show that due to mistreatment, bullying, threats, disrespect of women, especially from the current political situation as well as the corporate world, these situations discourage younger women who have the quality, the capability to be leaders, to deter or to make them shy away from leadership roles. So what happened here?
Well, I think it's fair to say that social media has played a significant role in amplifying cyberbullying and any kind of antagonistic behaviour that really cuts to the confidence of young women. And remembering that in those early ages is where you find your confidence and you find your backbone and you find your abilities to be more and to be a leader. And I think that what we are now seeing is that there are several organisations, whether they be business chicks or chief executive women, all sorts of female organisations, women's organisations, that are giving a lot of younger women resilience training to have them just be more resilient to the environment in which they find themselves. And I think it's a tricky time for us because with all of the terrific benefits of social media, what we've also got is the ability for people to be very, very negative in those channels. And we have a generation of young people who don't necessarily have the resilience to stand up to that kind of bullying. But I think over the course of the next several years, we'll start to see those young women come back into those leadership roles in the sense that they're going to want to become leaders themselves and develop the skills that they will need to get there.
In terms of equity and equality and inclusiveness, recent survey has shown alarming trends, especially the pay gap, the inequality between men and women in the workplace, in professional fields. So how should we deal with this?
Well, I think there are several companies now, and certainly, you know, if you look at the Nordic countries, if you look at Canada, countries around the world are now making it the law that men and women need to be paid the same. So there's legislation that has been included, I think in Norway or Iceland or Sweden, where if you are paying a woman less than a man, that will be illegal. And I think that's the first step to other Western governments looking at that and saying, well, hang on a minute, that is a way to attack this inequality. Mm-hmm. And I think slowly over time, we're getting better. It's certainly not equal in this country yet. We're still we're 85, 86 cents on the dollar in Australia to the equivalent of a man's income. But we're making strides. But I think turning it into the law seems to be, I think, the fastest way of getting rid of that financial inequality.
It seems like we are still living in patriarchic society rather than matriarchal society. As we've seen examples from recent situation like the American women football team sued the organization over the pays, even the prize money for Women World Cup is just $55 million, even though it is double, but it's still far, far less than nearly $600 million to the Men's World Cup.
It is, and I think certainly if we look at the professionalism of women's sports and how good these women are, as they start to get better at professionalizing these leagues, and they are as professionally qualified as the men, we will get the audiences watching those games. And I think audiences will then be demanding a level of equality as well, because there is the audience to watch at the same participation level the female sport teams alongside the male sport teams, and that will hopefully have play its role in getting that equality of payment in professional sport.
In terms of technologies and progressive in Australian development, most of Australians might think that we want governments that look after our economy so we can have full-time jobs. We don't have to juggle between two jobs, part-time jobs, to make it meet. Is it possible to look into this aspect? As the current government seems unlikely to look into this area, take Australian to the next level, like many countries in the world, either Japan, South Korea, or very close neighbor Singapore, that they have a very fast broadband network. They are the hearts of the economy in Asia, and the US, which is the world global leaders in terms of economy. Where should we turn ourselves or improve ourselves? As a recent study show that technologies and economies are changing rapidly, very fast, but we haven't prepared our workforce to have those skills in order to boost Australian economy into the future.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And look, for every 46 or 47 cents of the dollar that America creates of GDP, that money comes from innovation. It comes from the ideas economy. Hollywood, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Amazon, Google. And for Australia, it's 7 cents of every dollar. So that's the distance between use of technology in creating an economy.
So what should Australian do encourage or inspire people to be more creative?
Well, I think we need to tear up the education curriculum as it currently stands in this country. I don't think that education in Australia has changed in two generations. We have an agrarian education system for a technology world, and we need to start dramatically dragging into the schools the skills that young people need to understand how to use technology to generate revenue streams from nowhere. I mean, we've got to have our little kids when they hit kindergarten understanding that there is an idea that you can create using technology, and also give them skills like deductive reasoning and judgment so that they can distill or see the difference between a good idea and a bad idea. I mean, the future of this country will be owned by people who can create ideas using technology. And if you look at Atlassian, which is listed on the NASDAQ, it's not listed on the Australian Exchange. That is an incredible example of two Australians who've created an entire industry using technology.
Yeah, it is a very interesting aspect as education system in either in Netherlands, in Sweden, or in Japan, or in Singapore, they overhaul the education. But Austrian seems to go back to the basic, literacy, numbers, and readings.
That's not enough.
Yeah.
You're right. That's not enough. We need more than just the basics. We need to push our children and open up their minds. I think what's interesting about childhood is that you are, by design, a sponge. Mm-hmm. This is why children learn languages very easily from birth. It's very difficult to learn another language when you're an adult. It's actually much easier to do that when you're a child. So we can absorb a lot when we are 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, and this is when we should be filling young people's minds with so much information, technology, opportunity, skills. introducing concepts like engineering and coding and science at a very young age.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems like the Australian government doesn't really prepare to overhaul Australian education, especially encouraging younger children or students to take on STEM subjects. As well as languages, a lot of Australians seems to be happy with English, but we are a multicultural society and there are over 200 languages, but we haven't tapped into it. What should we do with it?
Well, look, marketers, people that create goods and services, people that sell their products through supermarkets, people who sell airline tickets and cars, need to start, I think, communicating to those 200 different languages. Given digital media and given social media channels, we can easily target every single ethnic group in Australia in its own language and culture and custom. And I think that it's time that the companies did more than just lip service. I think they need to dig a lot deeper and recognise that there's a great beauty and richness in communicating your product or service directly to that audience in their mother tongue. That's very simple to do. It's actually very easy to track your consumer using technology today. And if you know that they're typing into their Google search engine in, for example, Japanese or Vietnamese or Italian, it's very easy to serve them up advertising or products in that language. So I think at the very basic level, we can do a lot more to connect with multicultural Australians.
Do you believe that the Australian government has channels or mechanism ready to help business or corporate world do this?
Look, I think they're there. I think that they're not well known to a lot of multicultural Australia, but I think they're there. And I think perhaps what happens in a country that's had multiculturalism for several generations is that we kind of forget that there's more work to be done. And sometimes I worry that all levels of government think, oh, well, you know, Australians are very happy accepting migrants. They're integrating well. They're part of our community. But that's an ongoing process, and I think that there needs to be more done to really connect with the audiences so they can flourish and use their cultural difference to create an industry or business. I know for me, I speak other languages and my mind thinks in other languages, and that's an opportunity for me as a person to do something in business in that language potentially.
In terms of FAGO in Australia, do you think that we are still a lucky country as everyone expected? And in terms of identity, should we really focus on multicultural or focus on European? Or there are so many things mixing in the balls. How should we clarify ourselves in terms of identity?
Look, I think in terms of identity, what we should be moving to is that this is a country that if you believe in freedom, democracy, if you believe in doing the very best with your life, you can achieve anything. And so I think it should be less about a fair go and more about giving yourself every opportunity to succeed, because this country is an extraordinarily incredible country and there's very little impediment to creating a good life. We have decent enough education, we have an excellent healthcare system, we have a very good infrastructure, we're free, we're bountiful, we have an incredible climate. So I think that the fair go needs to become more about a story about taking the resources that you've been given and doing something with those resources. And I think that's what the government should be focusing on.
Yes, but everyone was not born lucky.
They
don't have their family circumstances, their situation is totally different in terms of their education, their backgrounds, where they're coming from, financial, and a lot of factors.
Well, and I think that's true, but I also believe that if you look at some of the biggest success stories, they too came with absolutely nothing, no education, no money. They had very tricky backgrounds, and I think certainly, there should be a social safety net to help anybody coming into Australia, to give them the opportunity, the chance to make a life here. But I certainly believe that if we can at least give them enough support in terms of social services, then they have a better shot of making a better life than from wherever they came. And so I think, yes, we're not born equal. We're all a consequence. We're all a product of our upbringing, our culture. But I think this country is still equal enough that if anybody does believe in hard work and if anybody does believe in taking a risk, they will be rewarded to some degree.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.